Everybody said amen. Romans chapter 7, we've been going through Romans, and Romans 5, you know, Romans 5 teaches us a lot about faith, and then Romans 6 teaches about victory over sin. And so Romans 7, we get into Romans 7, you know, Romans 7 is a little controversial for people because Romans 6, if you remember, there's a lot in Romans 6 about victory overcoming sin, right? In fact, Romans 6:14 said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Verse 18 says, "And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." And so we get into chapter 7, and Paul he goes back and he starts to teach more about the law. Okay, and then it's kind of a famous little passage where Paul talks about, we'll get to, starting in verse 15, where he talks about this war that goes on within him, and the things that he wants to do, he doesn't do, and the things that he does, he wished that he wouldn't do. And so in fact, I've been hearing this for years. Some people say that, well, this was Paul writing before he was a Christian. Some people say that, and some people say, or this is Paul when he was a new Christian, because it doesn't seem to show that there's victory over sin, like in chapter 6 does. And so, and I don't think it means either one of those. And so let's go through, and we can kind of look at what the Bible says here. In verse 1, Romans chapter 7, verse 1, he starts out, he says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies," and you go circle the word husband "dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law." And that's what he's saying in these first six verses. He's saying we're dead to the law. And so he's saying we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And I think in the first six verses, he's talking to these Romans about what it's like to live under the law. And he's saying, we're no longer under the law, we're dead to the law, we've been delivered from the law, just as if a husband dies, the wife is free. That's what he's saying. Okay, and then he's really teaching about the law here. In fact, he uses the word law 23 times in Romans chapter 7. And he's teaching about Christ has delivered us from the law. He's writing them. They've been freed. They've been delivered from the law. And then in verse 7, now these Romans, when they hear this, they're going to say, well, what shall we say then? Verse 7, is the law sin? And so you have to understand, they've been hearing that the law is good. The law was written by the Lord. The law's a great thing to follow, and it's been their entire lives have been focusing on the law. He says, so is the law sin? Is the law bad? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So he's saying the law brings out what's a sin. It shows a sin. And then he actually focuses on one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. why does he pull this one out? I mean, it could be because covetous is an inward sin. It's not outward. It's one of the most devious sins of the heart. And then he says, but sin, verse 8, but sin taking opportunity by commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. So the law shows sin. He says it's a good thing because the law shows us our sin. Apart from the law, sin was dead. And there's something about, we're going to talk about this, but the flesh part of us, it's just basically, it wants to break a law. There's a part of us that when there's a law, there's something in our hearts, there's something a part of our flesh part of us that wants to break it. In fact, I went to the beach earlier this week, and right when my kids are 10 and 8, and they run rampant at the beach, right? And it was crowded, right? So I said, you see that umbrella? Do you see that lifeguard station? These are your posts. Don't go past that. Don't go past that. I got the whole family together. I said, this is where we stay. We stay right in this area. I mean, it wasn't 30 seconds, and Maggie's past it with her little pail and her thing way past, just, I mean, lawbreakers. And that's what the flesh wants to do. It wants to break a law. If there's a sign, if there was a bench in a park that said, do not touch, I'm telling you, people are going to walk by and touch it. Why? Because there's a part of us. It shows us that sin part of us, that flesh part of us. It says in verse 8, apart from the law, sin was dead. But the law shows us that sinful part of us. He says, I was alive, verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. You could underline the verse 10 because Romans 6, you know, it was more dealing with breaking the bondage of sin, which some people, Paul starts out Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And so, there's two extremes here. There's shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? And this would be taking advantage of God's grace and saying, well, I can just do anything, right? Because of grace. That's one extreme. And maybe some Christians believe that. Maybe there's even teaching that lends itself towards that. And then now in Romans 7, he moves from this to legalism. And that's really what he's teaching is the opposite of that in Romans 7. And this is the idea in Romans 7:10, and the commandments which was to bring life, I found to bring death. And that's what legalism will do. You'll think that it's going to bring life trying to follow laws. Legalism is simply obeying laws. It's pleasing God by obeying laws. And Paul says, I thought it was going to bring life. And people who are legalists, they think it's going to bring life, but in fact, it's just going to bring death. It's going to pull out that sin nature. We're lawbreakers. That's what's going to happen. And so it brings death, the Bible says. There's a verse, I think it's in Corinthians, it says, the law is a ministry of death. And so verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and killed me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy. So the law reveals sin. The law actually kills. Verse 12, therefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. It was written by a holy God. The law is holy. But living under the law will only activate the old nature. It will not eradicate it. Living under the law is only going to activate that sin nature. It's not going to eradicate it. Only Jesus can do that. Only the cross and the Holy Spirit, which is what Paul gets to in Romans chapter 8. And in verse 13, he says, how then, what is good become death to me? Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin. You could circle the word appear sin. So it shows, sin shows the sinfulness of sin. The law shows the sinfulness of sin. The law shows how bad sin is. It says, certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. It shows how sinful sin is. The law does. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. That you can circle that word carnal. That means fleshly. The word carne in Spanish means meat, the flesh part of us, the meat part of us. Okay? It says, for I am fleshly, I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. And here's where he gets in that part. We were talking about this war that's going on with Apostle Paul. And to me, it's clear that he's just explaining the battle that goes on in walking in the flesh part of us or following or yielding to the Spirit. And that's a battle that every believer faces. And so when we're born again, we're the seed of God. We're the offspring of God. We're children of God. Okay, but there's still a part of us that's carnal, a part of it that's fleshly. Okay? And in verse 15, he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, I do. And I think every believer could say these same things with Apostle Paul. Verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And so some people, they interpret these verses to say, this was Paul before he was a Christian. This is when he was a Pharisee. But I think any believer would recognize a war that goes on in themselves. Every believer knows there's a part of them that's fleshly. It's just a part of our humanness on the earth. And that's what I think we can relate to Paul. Now, some people say if you teach this as Paul and his struggle with sin, it's going to cause people to compromise, and they'll say, well, there's no victory over sin. Even Apostle Paul did what he didn't want to do. But, you know, I think that that's every human's battle. A sinful part of them. We're not fully sanctified yet. When we see him, we'll be like him, but we're not there yet. And there's a battle between walking in the flesh and yielding to the Spirit. And to me, the answer is this. It's a daily battle. Every day, Paul said, I die daily. We're going to see that. He says, and well, let's go on right now. In verse 17, he says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to me, to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good is what I do not find. He's talking about in my flesh dwells no good thing, and I want to do good, but to carry it out, I don't always do it. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 20, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. And so the answer, there's no excuse for sin, but the answer to me is daily repentance. Every day you have to get up, turn from yourself. That's why Paul said, I die daily. He said, in me dwells no good thing. That sin part of us has to die daily, and then we yield to the Holy Spirit. And that's what, we're not going to get there today, but that's what chapter 8's about. It's victory through how? The Spirit of life. He says, verse 8, chapter 8 says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So the Holy Spirit is the one who brings freedom, but it's a daily choice because there's a carnality about us that's always going to be there until when we see him, we'll be like him and we have a glorified body like Christ. And so verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." But I, verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" I think he's just talking about his humanness, this body of death, this, he knows that in him dwells no good thing. Who's going to deliver him from the state that he's in? Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Jesus is going to deliver us when we yield through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have victory. Now, if you think about, this is Paul's battle as a Christian to me, okay? Before you were a believer, you didn't even have most of these battles. There wasn't a war inside you that said, now you had a conscience, but there wasn't, the law of God wasn't working in you, the inward law of God wasn't inside us. So I don't think he's talking about before he was a Christian. There was many things, you were just led by your conscience. Sometimes our conscience was softened, sometimes it was hardened. Paul's talking about the battle of a believer, yielding. And we'll get to this next week when we talk about yielding. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, following the Holy Spirit." So Romans is not a light read, man. It's a lot of stuff in there. So that's good. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And today, we just simply apply this passage to our lives. God, we pray that we would walk in the Spirit today and not in the flesh, God. We yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives today, God, that the fruit of the Spirit, your love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of you would flow in our homes and our lives today, God. We choose to die to ourselves today and to live for you. In your name we pray. Amen.